You know, I have been so blessed to be at Gethsemane for these couple of years together with you. And I say couple of years because I meet people who say, you know, he, she is a charter member, right? And I just have so much respect for that, for someone here since the very beginning. In the same way, I suppose, if you and I met someone who they are a relative several generations removed of someone who was at the Alamo, we'd be quite impressed. We met someone that was one of the original pilgrims that came over here on the Plymouth, landed on Plymouth Rock and all that, the Daughters of the American Revolution, all those kinds of things. That also would be kind of impressive. But if you were to tell me that you were a child, a descendant of Father Abraham, I'd nod my head and I would understand. And you probably would too. Maybe you've sung that little Sunday school song. I'll see if I can put those words up here for us so we can remember it just in case. Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. Now, I know we could do the whole Christian hokey pokey right here and now. It'd be very fun and entertaining. But we're going to be studying Abraham because he is the father of so, so many. At one point, God said to Abraham, I want you to look up at the stars. And scholars tell us that at the naked eye, at that time of the earth's history, when there wasn't as much light pollution or any kind of pollution really, that the naked eye could see somewhere in the neighborhood of 5 billion stars. But then you realize that several million, if not billion, of those stars that you see are actually galaxies with billions of stars inside of them. And you just start to realize what God was saying. You're going to be a blessing to the whole earth, Abraham. And that's why I think he's worthy for us to take some time and to study and look at Abraham's life and look at the lessons we can learn to apply to our own life, our own walk, our own faith. That promise that God made that you heard in the Old Testament reading, you will be a blessing, and through you I will bless many. Anyone who blesses you, I will bless. Anyone who curses you, I will curse. You will be the father of many nations. You will be a blessing. That's what's there and waiting for us. Tiny bit of trivia. We can look over this. I'll talk more about this in Bible class as well. But the name Abram, which is what he is here in the beginning of Genesis, and then the name Abraham, which later is what Abraham gets to be called when God changes his name, the name appears almost 300 times. And since his story affects us, since we say, you know, I'm a child of Abraham and so are you, and we even heard Jesus having that discussion with the Jews of his day, we realize this is an important thing for us to get right. Now you might say, Old Testament stuff, you know, and all that, but I would remind you that Abraham's name is mentioned in the New Testament some 76 times, including, as we mentioned, in today's gospel reading, Jesus talking extensively about it with those Jews, especially as they are doubting him. So if Jesus talked about Abraham, and in fact, if Jesus even said, Abraham saw my day and he rejoiced in it, then it makes some sense for us to learn about Abraham and for us to understand him to a somewhat of an extent. And I really believe there's some rich treasure for us to gain in taking a look at the life of Abraham and some of the lessons and the insights that he shares. So we'll dig in and we will get started in all of that. One of the things I hope we'll notice, and I'm calling this series Called to Be God's Friend, and that's coming from a reference here in James chapter 2. Not one of our readings today, but just to grab the scripture and understand that phrase. James is inspired by God to write and say that the scripture was fulfilled, that Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he, Abraham, was called God's friend. It's a great thing to be called a charter member here at Gethsemane, or to be called a daughter of the Alamo, or a daughter of the American Republic, American citizen, whatever we want to be called. But it is a greater thing, isn't it, to be called a friend of God, to be, if you will, involved and invited to be a part of His work. God invites His friends to join Him. A little later in John's gospel, Jesus says, "I've called you my friends, and I want you to go and bear fruit in my name." That's really what it means for us. We are blessed to be a blessing. We're still carrying that out, still doing that. As God's friends, we're sharing His love. We're sharing His promises with the next person we meet in our lives, especially passing it on to our families, yes, but to our neighbors, our friends, to anyone that we can share with. What an amazing idea that God doesn't just call us His little subjects, His sweet little statues that He wants to make sure get saved. God calls you and me friend, loves us that much that He would call us that. And that implies something, doesn't it? When you call someone friend, or in this case, when God is inviting Abraham and inviting us into His blessing business, that means that God trusts you. It means He trusts me. He trusts us to be trustworthy. That there's something God sees, there's something God believes about us, that I know she, I know he will take this, will carry this forward, will be that blessing to other people. And that idea of God trusting us, inviting us in, sharing with us the secrets and the inner workings of His kingdom and all of His promises and blessings. It's really a staggering idea that He would share those riches and treasures with us. But that word trustworthy, how does that feel? When you think of God asking you to be that blessing, when you think of God believing you to be trustworthy and holding on to all of those things, how does that feel? I hear what Jesus said to the religious believers who claimed Abraham and claimed to be in that kingdom business together with God. And I hear Jesus, a judgment against them, criticism against them. Did you hear some of those words? Just to hear that again from the gospel reading. If God were your father, you would love me. If Abraham were your father, you would do the things Abraham did. And there's where we have to be really honest, isn't it? Where we have our good moments and our good days, our good seasons, where we are those good children of God, those good children of Abraham, and then we have those other moments, those other hours, those other days and seasons when our own self-centeredness kicks in. When we don't do what Abraham would have done, when we do what our own sinful hearts wants to do. We do what the crowd's doing. We fit in and don't want to stand out. We don't want to face any kind of attacks or persecutions, as Jesus Himself is doing right here in this gospel reading, for standing in the faith of Abraham, for walking in His ways. We run the risk if we let those sinful those sinful drives pull us too long, too far. We run the risk of having Jesus say to us, "You're doing what your father's doing, the devil, lying and covering up and being a murderer, even from the very beginning, with no truth in us." Yet then there is that gracious invitation Jesus had. The devil didn't hold on to God's truth, but what did He say at the beginning of that gospel reading? If we hold on to His teaching, we will know the truth. The truth will set us free. And that's what Abraham did, didn't he? You know, it's interesting. I risk slightly reading between the lines, but as you heard Mike read the Old Testament reading for us, it says that Abraham's father set out and was headed towards Canaan, but he stopped. He didn't make it all the way. You have to wonder, had God actually called Terah to go and do this call, and Terah wasn't faithful enough? Something stopped him in a town that reminded him of his own father's name, Haran. He stops in the town of Haran with two R's, and he never goes any further. Is it possible that God had actually called Terah first, and he doesn't fulfill that? We never really will know that. But what we do know is that God makes that call to Abraham, perhaps now the second generation, makes that call to him and says, "I want you to leave the comfort of this place that you know. of all of your father's relatives around here and how much you've succeeded. I want you to leave all of that and trust me, I have a better place for you. I don't know how many of you have ever accepted a job on the other end of the state or the other side of the country based on something like that, a place we've never seen with people we've never met, and to have the company say or have someone say, you know, come spend the rest of your life, come spend the rest of your career with me, you know, over here and do this, or in this case, as God's saying, go on over there, I've got something better. Trust me, it's going to be even better than anything you know. That's a big step of faith, isn't it? Abraham believed him. Abraham took that step of faith. Abraham believed as good as he had been blessed up to that point in his life, God had more and wanted him involved in more. And I'd ask us to think about that. By the power of his Holy Spirit, can we imagine, even we here today who have been blessed, who have so many good things, that God has even more in mind for us? Now, some of you are chuckling, going, Pastor, I'm a little on the upper side of life here to be setting out on new adventures. But let's remember, Abraham was 75 years old when this all started. And Abraham's faithfulness as a septuagenarian set up a blessing that affected the rest of the world. How might we, by the grace that God gives us, set up blessings for the rest of our family, for others in our community, and maybe even help others who will help others, who will help even more others know about Jesus Christ as we add a few more shining lights to the galaxy that is God's people. Can we believe that God still has adventures for us? Things he wants us to step out and do? Things he will show us and reveal to us and invite us to be involved in? I hope, friends, that we will. I hope we still have room for his word. Jesus mentioned that to those Jewish believers at that time. You don't have room for my word. It is easy. It's easy and tempting. Just go, oh, yeah, I know God. I know Jesus. I know all that stuff. It's easy and tempting to kind of have God in our Sunday box, and we love him, and we do our portals of prayer, and we start off each morning and each meal with a prayer and a blessing and kind of go, well, that's good now. What do I get to do today for the rest of my time? Do we have room in our hearts, in our agenda, in our day-to-day life? Do we have room for God and what he wants to do in us? What he wants to do through us. Dangers he wants to guide us away from and blessings he wants to guide us towards. Do we have room, ears to hear, a heart that's open? Or is our heart so full of our own agenda, is our mind so full of our own worries and our own solutions that we just kind of think of God as sort of the Sunday add-on of our lives? I believe that Jesus wanted us to have more. God wanted Abraham to have more, and he invited him at 75, saying, my friend, you are just getting started in kingdom adventures. I have so much more in mind for you. And Abraham's going to do some growing. He's going to see his faith muscles that he believed enough to travel several hundred miles to a place he'd never been, to walk into a land that's already occupied, to hear God say, you see all those people out there? You see all those beautiful hill country and all that? It's all going to be yours. Abraham's probably going, what's going to happen to the people? How am I ever? And he lets all those questions stop and go, God said it. I believe it. That settles it. Abraham believed God. And God credited it to him as righteousness. God called him his friend. God's seeking the same from and with you and me. He's seeking the same to guide us, and he's seeking that we would take in the grace that Jesus Christ came and lived and died and rose again to give us, to take that grace to trust him more rather than ourselves, to trust and turn to his ways rather than our own intuition. God is offering that to us, and I pray that we will step fully into this life that God had called Abraham to, and the life of faith that he calls us to as well. May he be glorified, and may we, his friends, find even deeper stronger, more fruitful faith in the weeks and the years to come, all to his glory. Amen.